One should keep on eating. I guess you don't need to be encouraged. If Marsha's ready, we can start. Okay, we're just going to wait then until you just give us the word. Just give us the word when it's good. Okay. Overall, I've been playing this game for Thursday nights, figuring people will come no matter what I talk about because there's good food. So therefore, I've been taking a little bit of liberty in choosing the topics that are related to the Parsha. We've really been all over the place this summer. You know, who can forget the pie charts and
mathematics?
You know, we drew lots. Women wore talasim. It's been outrageous, I tell you. Outrageous. Reeks of anti-Semitism. So I'm going to go a little bit off course, and we're going to do a little philosophy today. We'd like to discuss the topic of free will and predetermination. In this week's parsha, the beginning of the fifth Aliyah, my father-in-law gets this Aliyah every year because of this pasuk. It says, "Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem alkecha shol meimach, ki im reyiras Hashem alkecha, lechas b'chol derechav, la'avod oso, la'avod es Hashem alkecha, b'chol revavcha, v'chol nafshecha." And now, Israel, what does God ask for you? Not much. Just fear him, follow his ways, love him, worship him with all your heart and all your soul. Famous Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Brachos, which is number two. Amar Rav Chanina, Kol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyirashamayim. Everything comes from heaven with the exception of fear of heaven. The only thing that matters for a person is that you should, that's all you have to do. All you have to do is fear heaven. So the Gemara, as it says, what's the source of Ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Okecha Shalom Nimach Ki Imri Yira. The proof text is, in fact, our pasuk in this week's parsha. Mikhal the Gemara asks, and tell me, Mikhal the Yira Milsa Zuchasahi, and that's not a big deal to fear God. That's easy peasy. I don't think easy or peasy for that matter. So what's the story? So in Legabe Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zuchasahi. Yeah, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you're set. Okay. Well, there's a lot to be said. What exactly type of answer is that? But that's not the focus. What I want to focus on is there is a second Gemara. So this Gemara said, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. Only fear of God. The Gemara in Ksubas number 3 says as follows. Tanya, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mitzinim pachim. What? That everything comes from the heaven with the exception of whether you get a cold or whether you have heat stroke. To quote Patty, what? Shenemar tzinim pachim derech ike shomer nafshi yirchak mehem. So wait a second. In one place we said it's all from heaven with the exception of fear of heaven. And now we say everything's from heaven except for whether you get a runny nose. What? So what do we do with that? So Tosfos asks the question, and Tosfos gives one approach. We get number 4. Wait a second, isn't that Gemara against that one? It says no. They're two different things. Ain't in Yan Lakan. The Hasam Kai al Havlad b'ma'ima. When it says Akobi Deshamayim Chut Miyirashamayim means as follows: when you are born, it has been predetermined how tall are you going to be. There's nothing you can do about it, right? It is predetermined how smart you're going to be. You're getting the cards that you're dealt, right? It's predetermined how rich your parents are. You will know right away if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth or a plastic spoon in your mouth, right? That's all. However, whether or not you will be God-fearing, that's up to you. That's what it means. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. It means that is what you have to work on. You can't work really hard to be taller. You can't work really hard to be shorter. You can't work really hard to be smarter. It is what it is. The cards have been dealt. But whether or not you're going to fear God, that's what matters. However, what does it mean here?
Here
Here it says, when you go through life, certain things happen to you, right? I'm going to go out, I'm going to stub my toe. So if I stub my toe, where did that come from? There was a heavenly decree, right? Everything out there is a heavenly decree. Whether I have a good day, if I win the lottery, right? If my plane's delayed, whatever happens in the world, that's from God. If I catch a cold, you know why? Because you didn't listen to your mother. You didn't put on a sweater. That's why you caught a cold. You have a heat stroke. You know you got a heat stroke? Because you didn't drink enough. Because you didn't drink enough. That's the reason. So everything else in the world, that's what the Gemara means here. Is whatever happens to me, it's because God willed it to happen to me. As opposed to if you walk out without a jacket and it's cold outside, that's not God's fault. That's your fault.
The Gemara says,
right, same idea.
Exception for catching a cold.
Right. Now sell it. No. We said the exact. Right. Right. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what, according to, that is Tosis's understanding.
What
about both sides? So I think autoimmune is you know, that comes from God also. I don't think it's because you ran out without a sweater. I think if you have lupus, it's not because you weren't careful. Right, you have rheumatoid arthritis. It's not your fault. It's God's fault.
Rabbi,
what?
Rabbi,
yes.
Can I blame God then for my eye problem?
Yes. Yes. Good. It's not the rabbi's fault. It's God's fault.
Good. Thank you, Rabbi.
Good. Right. That's the idea. So according to Tosfos's approach, why is one says a kobi day shemayim chutz mi yir shemayim? The other says kobi day chutz mi tzinim pachim, because the first one's talking about what you're born with, right? Everything is predetermined. You're going to be rich. You're going to be poor. That's predetermined. It's already decided. I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do about it. However, whether you're going to be a God-fearing person or not, whether you're going to be a moral, ethical person, that's you. That's approach number. That's one. However, this is talking now. Once you've been born and you go through your years of life, you know, what things are determined because what things happen because God said so, because you deserve it, you don't deserve it, whatever the reason is, right? That's everything except for if you run outside, but if you don't wait a half hour after you eat before you go swimming, that's your fault, right? You run with scissors, it's on you. Okay? You ran in the street, that's what we're saying. Okay, now that is Tos. Now Tosfos says, wait a second, if that's the case, why do I have to be careful? You know, here I am. I can run in traffic. If I run in traffic, so if God wants me to be hit by a truck, so whether I ran in traffic or not, I would get hit by a truck. And if God did not want me to be hit by a truck, I'm good. That's Tosis's question. So it says. So let's look. That's the beginning of the same Tosis number five. As it said, but it says the Gemara, Om al yamad ana b'makom sakana. But the Gemara says you shouldn't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Alma yachol ishma asam min apronius. Doesn't that indicate that if I am careful,
it's preordained, you might as well.
Right, if everything is preordained, why do I have to be careful?
Bechira chofshet.
Right, that is in fact the entire topic here. Yes, correct. That's exactly what we're getting at. That's what Tosfos wants to know. So, v'chein kir notu also lavor tachtav. If you have a wall that's bent over, you're not supposed to walk under it. Why not? Might land on you. So, but why? If it's supposed to happen, it's supposed to. Hasa min apshir yachol lishmor atzmo. Havadei shebiyado lahamis atzmo. He says, no. He says, you can do something stupid and hurt yourself. Just like a person could commit suicide. Right? If I determine, right? Avom. Kishimevin, Allah min hashemayim ba'ones, e efshel lishmor. So there's two ways that could happen, right? I could be determined that, you know, some bricks are going to fall on me and kill me, and no matter how much I watch myself, it doesn't make a difference. However, if I'm not careful, right, if then I could bring it upon myself. However, you're only going to get a cold if it was your fault. That's what Tosa says. When it says Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mitzid Pachim, means that everything potentially could have come on you from heaven, except for this, which couldn't have come on you from heaven. He said, "But wait a second." V'im Toma Hadarshina. He says Hashem Chol Choli Kuzetzina. But it doesn't. The Gemara say that God can protect you that from the cold. Amud Bidei Shemayim Hu. You see, that is something unrelated. Yeshom Dahanu Shiyachem Akash Baruch Hu Ramo Oyitim Mabushim Lo Yisarchi Zayir. He says, no, that God can keep the weather warm. And then even if I run out without a coat, I'll be fine.
Climate change.
Right? Climate change is to sake to stop people from getting colds. Now we understand everything. So this is Tosis's approach. Now Tosis's approach is an interesting approach, and we're going to get back to it very shortly. But Tosis made it clear that if a person commits suicide, did that person deserve to die?
Or was it by his own choice, you mean?
Right. So again, on Rosh Hashanah, did they announce that this person is going to live the year? Or they announced he wasn't going to live the year? So it sounds from Tosfos here that it's that in fact he was supposed to live the year. However, he has the ability to override it by killing himself. Right? So too, if on Rosh Hashanah you tell me that I'm going to live the year, and then I decide, you know what I'm going to do? I just got to clean out the piranha tank, right? You know, and
bungee jumping,
right? But I forget to side, and I don't tie the other half, right? Right, etc.
That's not a suicide.
What?
It's not really suicide.
But you put yourself in danger,
right? Meaning that, that again, I. Right.
Yes, but it could just be negligent.
Right. So again, this could be criminal negligence also. Right.
He's also saying that if you shoot yourself in the mouth, this is not God's will.
Correct.
We should not assume it's God's will.
Right.
Right. That's what he's saying. He's saying that no one's arguing that we can't override God's will. That's his point, right? The only right. So therefore, what says Hakol Bidei Shemayim, it doesn't mean that God preordained everything, right? Except for this, it means that anything could or could not be preordained, except for this. But in Achinami, right, there are things in the world that I can override the preordaining. Hold that thought. We're going to be back there. Rashi is a totally different approach. Rashi, in a lot less words as usual, says, "Chutz mitzina pachim shepamim shebaim bibshia." That sometimes when you get a cold, it's your fault. Which means what? If I break my leg, right, because I wasn't being careful. Was that God's determination, or was that my fault, perhaps? So according to Tosfos, only colds are perhaps your fault. But everything else that happens is decreed by God. Period.
So again, saying something different?
Very different than Tosfos. Like Tosfos said that anything could happen either by my causing it, or except for colds, which are only because I cause it. As opposed to Rashi saying that, no, nothing happens because I cause it, except for colds, which I can sometimes cause. So that's Rashi in three words.
Says the same thing, basically.
Says a totally different thing, basically.
It sounds like the same thing.
But it's totally different. It's the other than the fact that it's the opposite, it's the same. But it is the opposite. With that minor difference, it's the exact same.
Like they're saying the same thing.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Yeah. So let's see if how good my pedagogical skills are.
Excellent.
Okay? In the event, according to, let's say I go, I decide that I want to go running with the bulls.
Okay.
And I end up getting gored. Mm-hmm. According to Tosfos, is that God's determination or my stupidity?
Only God's determination.
What about God's determination?
No, because again,
According
to Tosfos, it could have just been my stupidity. What kind of was Fudanar? Didn't run him with the bulls, right? However, according to Rashi, no, that was God's determination.
Okay, so.
So moving out, if I commit suicide, according to Rashi, was that predetermined that I was going to die this year?
According to Rashi,
yeah.
Right, as opposed to according to Tosfos, it's my fault, right? So that's not the same. Some would even say it's different. Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that. So this is radically different. Rashi and Tosfos here have very different ideas to what is determined and what is not determined. If you look at the Shita Mekubetzes on this, he points out that according to Rashi, in fact, the whole question of that akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yira shemayim and akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi tzinam pachem, you don't even ask the question. Because according to Rashi, right, obviously, this only means that if you get a cold, that might have been your fault. But that has nothing to do with the other saying. So that's out. Now, Rashi's comment does seem to be supported by the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, it says, Cholav v'nisrapi, if somebody was sick and then they get better. So, misrapi mishal atzma, who has to pay for it? So, shalach ravim mishmeid rav ila, roshanu elo shachol p'shia, aval ba'onis nisrapi minayimsa. So, the question is, I have a worker that is out and he gets sick on the job. Do I have to pay for his medical treatment? Does he have to pay for his own? So the Gemara said there's a difference. The difference is, well, why did he become sick? Was this something that he did that was stupid? Or was this something that, you know, just kind of happens? So then what's the proof that there's two types? It says, the Amar of Chanina, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim pachem. Because you see that everything's from heaven except for colds. Colds can be both ways. So that very much sounds like Rashi. Sometimes you get a cold because God determined, and sometimes not. Not that you always get it, as Tosa says, because of non-godly reasons. So that seems to support it. Now, we have Elchanan Wasserman in a little bit of a longer piece here, which we won't go through because it's a little bit of a longer one, but we'll do it outside, has a very important statement. Now we're going to go back to Tosfos. If I kill you, okay? I said, Patty, that's enough of these questions. This is a concealed carry state. Adios. And then I remember she's paying for next week, so I don't do it. She almost said, if I kill you, yes, is that because God determined on Rosh Hashanah you're not going to live the year? Or is it because of I have free will? And your life got in the way of my free will, and it's too bad.
So do you follow Tosfos or do you follow Rashi?
Correct.
That is a few days and you'll find out.
Right. Right, so the question, so that's, he says, me killing myself, what Tosfos says, is no different than me killing someone else. If I have the ability to kill myself, even though God did not will it, meaning because my free will is that strong, then I have the ability to kill you, even though God did not will it. And therefore, at Rosh Hashanah, when you are written in the book of life, you're written in the book of life unless some nut shoots you.
What about the guy that got shot?
What? That's what I'm saying.
The guy, the grandfather,
that's exactly what
we're talking.
What?
Yeah. The guy who came to save his grandson and the police shot him.
Right. Right. So. Well, right. So again, I can't talk about specific cases. Right? I don't have that good a connection. But what I'm saying is this. So again, you're saying, what about an accident? So one would assume that everyone would agree that an accident is an act of God.
Right. No, I'm not talking about an accident. I'm talking about the guy that shot the other guy.
Yeah.
That he didn't have his own will.
But he didn't mean to. Right, but the officer did not mean to.
The guy that got killed, that's in his mind. That's not his doing. He was meant to die.
Well, no. Again, if a murderer kills someone else, bemazed, right? With the intent, the idea is according to this argument of basically the opinion of Rashi, that was not God's will. Meaning that God maybe willed that person live another year, But this person, but the murderer has free will, and just like the murderer could take the murderer's own life, the murderer can kill the other, take the other person's life. Rashi.
Oh, Rashi.
As opposed to Tosfos, who would say no, that if I shoot you and you die, it's because you were meant to die. Now that, of course, leads Tosfos to have to answer the following question. If I kill a Trefa, if I kill somebody that's going to die anyhow, I don't get the death penalty. So philosophically, everyone who I kill is a trefa, because if you weren't supposed to die, then I could have killed you. The ultimate defense. It was God's will. If it wasn't God's will, I would have missed. Now, obviously, that doesn't make anyone happy, that argument. Except for some defense attorneys, maybe. But, so that's what...
Can you argue that in court?
You could argue whatever you want in court. I'm not saying it's going to be a winner, but you can argue it.
Got it.
Right? So that goes back. Then you've got to go to the Ramban by Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So what about the Mishnah in Avos?
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, everything happens for a reason. There is no random. But,
no. So again, why? He assumed that the skull was murdered, right? And that everyone agrees. If I murder somebody, so you get punished for that. And if I don't get it in Beis Din, I get it some other way.
Why is it? If it's not in your hands, if it's a call decreed from heaven, you're just a tool in the hands of God.
What? So,
why should you be punished?
So there's Gemara in Makkos, and this is quoted in Rashi and Chumash as well, right? Where it says that if one person kills purposely and another person kills accidentally and they both get away with murder, Kaddish Baruch Hu is bringing
arranges
together.
It, yes,
right? The guy who killed accidentally climbs the ladder, he lands on the other guy. Now the guy deserved death, got death, and now the guy accidentally killed someone else, and he's going to go to Arbika, and God arranged everything. How, everybody's... Yes? Kills him. Correct. Correct. No, it's a little different. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik has a piece on it, thank you for asking, where he talks about that he wasn't Chayav Misi, he's only Chayav Misi Bidei Shemayim, and when you're Chayav Misi Bidei Shemayim, then you take other things into account. So since he wasn't going to have anybody who was going to be Megayer, then he had no problem cutting him off. But if he would have, then Moshe would have killed him. That's not really on target here. But, so going back to here, so the question is, if you tell me, so yet either way is very difficult. Right. If I say that my free will overrides your being written in the book of life, that kind of leaves us kind of, you know, like, wow, Rosh Hashanah was great. We're in the book of life. Hope that works out. We kind of thought that if God gave us a year, we have the year no matter what. So that's disturbing on that end. On the other hand, if everything is predetermined and the murderer is just doing the will of God, so why are we punishing murderers? Which obviously we're not here to support. So Rav Elchanan points out that that's related to the Ramban by Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you remember, if we go back to the very, very, very beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we go to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Whatever the Bris Bein HaBesarim, God told Abraham that you're going to go into that your descendants are going to go into a foreign land, and they will be slaves there for 400 years, and then they will come out. So, that being the case, so Mitzrayim had no choice. They did the will of God. So why are we punishing the Mitzrayim?
Very dangerous argument.
Right?
Very dangerous argument, because then the Nazis,
everybody could use
say
it.
We were just tools. God wanted the Jews to die. So why are we punished?
I'm not sure whether there's a Lahavdil between the Mitzrayim and the Nazis. I want to put my Lahavdil there. I think they're in the same boat. But,
and this was, by the way, one of their arguments. I was just carrying out orders.
Right, as we
be it orders from God or orders from men.
As we discussed on Sunday, yeah. Right? right? So again, that's so the idea. So the Ramban makes the comment that, yeah, God meant to do this, but no one told you to be his shliach. God never picked up the phone and told the Mitzrayim, I want you to do this. So to hear, you're punished. Yes, this is the will of God, but if God didn't tell you to do it, you get punished for that. But this is a very interesting question, right? The question of when man's free will runs into someone else's predetermination, what wins?
It also seems like the free will becomes more powerful than God.
Correct. It does. And that's not crazy.
I didn't think it was.
Well, maybe you should have. But so the reason is as follows. There's in other great philosophical questions. I don't speak philosophy much here, but I'm just kind of feeling it today. You know.
You go for it, Rabbi.
All right, that's very kind of you. So there's an old question in among the philosophers, not just Jewish philosophers, as follows. How can God see the future and I have free will? Right? Right now I have a choice. What?
Called separation.
Right, so how does that work exactly? Meaning that if I right now have an option, I can have a cup of Sprite or not have a cup of Sprite, right? And this is totally free will. It's totally up to me. And nobody can know until I made that decision whether I'm going to drink the Sprite or not.
How can God know in advance?
So how can God know?
Right?
If God knows I'm going to drink it,
it's not free will.
Then I think I have free will, but it's predetermined. But if I have free will, if I really can decide, so what is, God will have to wait and find out as well. So that's a good question, and there's a lot of answers to it. But among the answers is there is definitely a group of philosophers, Jewish philosophers, who say you're right. God could see the future, but he decides not to in order to preserve our free will. That free will is such an integral part of humanity that God himself will not look into the future, even though he could, to preserve free will. So free will is a very big deal. And therefore, we're saying here that according to this opinion, that free will is greater than God's will.
Who's saying that?
What?
Who is saying that?
Rashi is saying that. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
Now, there are other people who say it as well. Let's start going through the list. Going at Shmuel Beis. Let's give a little background. So there is David HaMelech. David HaMelech has a son called Avshalom. Avshalom
rebels,
and as David is running away from his son Avshalom, he runs into a guy named Shimi ben Gera. Excellent. I'm getting my tuition's worth. Right? And what does Shimi ben Gera do? Correct. He throws rocks and he curses David. So, Yoab ben Tsruyan and his brothers want to say, why don't we just off this guy, Shimi ben Gera? So, in number 10, we say, Vayom ha-melech, ma'li v'lechem b'nei Tsruyan. That's David. He said, the fact that he's cursing me indicates what? That God wills that I should be cursed. So what do I have with this guy? So what does that sound like? That sounds like no free will. No, it sounds like toast, right? You don't have free will.
Right? Exactly. He didn't forget that little event.
Right?
On his deathbed.
Yeah.
He commands his children, don't forget to kill that guy. He cursed me.
Shlomo takes care of business.
Exactly.
Right. So that's what he's. But that's his argument. He very much sounds like. So look at the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch uses this as a proof text to show that nothing happens. If I get hurt, if I get cursed, if someone hurts me, that's God's will. That's the only way it could happen. Anything that happens is because God willed it, Chinuch says. There's nothing in the world that happens without God willing it. If someone's making me crazy or bothering me, etc., it's my fault. God is punishing me. That's why I'm having such a hard time with my neighbors. So why would I ever take revenge? It's not that guy's fault. He's doing it because God wants him to do it. He said, it's not Shimi ben Gera's fault. It's my fault. Right? So the assumption here is that nothing happens. In the event that someone shoots me, it's because God wanted me dead. There's no other way it could happen.
Can you say simpler, though?
I can say whatever I want, but this is what the Chinuch says.
You should put physics and, you know, various things into the world like that. And one of the things that if you shoot someone, the person's going to die.
Correct, but you know what? That's only if you hit. If you miss, as people shoot sometimes and they miss, there's certain people in the shul who carry guns. In the event that someone walks out, I'm going to stand in front of them because I know that's the least likely place they're going to shoot. Right? Correct, but God can make you miss always, as we said, you know? Some people survive gunshot wounds, some people don't. Right? So this is the approach of the Chinuch, that again, free will never beats will of God. Looking at the Sefer Chassidim, Im cholo shum adam al yitra choli zeh machbos shum ba'aychol o mishum mashkeh. If I have, God forbid, coronary issues, it's not because I ate the ribs. Right? That's what it says here. Don't think it's because of something I ate, right? Or something I drank, right? The fact that I have liver disease, it's not because of my regular attendance at the Kiddush Club. No, that's not it. Right? Lo Hashem Paul calls those. I feel chavruhu b'nei adam roi, even if someone beats me. El yom ha'avonosav garmu. And he has other proof texts. So this is the approach here, that everything comes from God. In fact, the Marsham has a fascinating tshuva. There is a concept called katlonis. Katlonis means that if a woman is married twice and her husbands die, she can't get remarried.
She's a male killer.
She's a black widow.
Black widow, yeah, husband right. Killer.
Of course it's her fault. We all know that.
Yeah. The women are guilty. Yeah.
Oh, she can't. Two strikes and she's out.
Allowed to kill two husbands, no more.
Why else would that happen?
Right?
However, if a husband is married and two wives die, he can marry a
servant. Of course he can.
Even if he killed them.
Of course he can.
You like that?
No. It's okay. See, that's how we think of the Shidduch crisis. So now the question is, why not? So there's two opinions. One is there is a concern that she's carrying some disease that's killing off husbands. And the second concern, the other possibility is that it's nothing to do with a disease, but rather it has to do about her mazel, meaning that God wants her to be single. God's upset at her for some reason, and therefore, if she gets married, God makes her single again.
But then why doesn't it also apply for a man who's had two wives?
What? Because if God's angry at him, he gives him more wives. I'm going to understand. Okay. So. Right. So the. all those years of schooling. So right. It's like the old question: Why do men tend to die first? Because they want to. That's right.
Yeah.
So
they don't want to stick around.
So there's a difference between these two approaches. So let's say the woman was married twice, and both husbands got hit by trucks. So it probably wasn't the disease they caught from her.
Yeah, I'd like to remain single now. They had a nice motorcycle.
Right. Okay, right? So you get that, that would be one way. On the other hand, on, my tuition dollars hard at work. On the other hand, right, let's turn it so obviously, if you tell me it's because of disease, then she'd be okay. However, if you tell me it's because of mazel, so then she still can't win. No, she can win. Again, if the husband gets hit by a truck, it's not because he caught something for her.
I know the minhag is for a woman that had lost her husband not to get married, but if she did, you're not forcing her to get divorced. The best thing forces her to get divorced.
No, it's the guy wants to die, let him die.
No, I mean,
No.
But it's again, not like a halachic issue.
There is a halachic issue. It's Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Shulchan Aruch.
Not to allow her to marry.
Yes.
But if she did, so, I mean, they're not...
Okay. I don't understand. And if a Kohen marries a Grusha...
That's what I'm saying. It's the same like Kohen and Grusha. They don't allow
that's pretty
marry.
Bad.
But if someone came to you and said, I want you to be Masada Kedusha, the woman's been married...
And he would
say
no.
Twice before. You would say, no, I can't do this?
If there was no heter out there, I would say, no, I can't do this.
So it goes to that extreme.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in Ebenezer. This is a real halacha. Right? But again, you have to play both sides of it. Right? One side is, if you tell me that it's Mayan Gorim, as they said, if she was hit by a truck, assuming that she wasn't driving it, then it's not her fault. Right? On the other hand, right, if they say, if she's wealthy and she's living a good life, so obviously God doesn't want her to be miserable. Right, so therefore, she would be according. So even if they both died from some dread disease, right? If you tell me, then a mazel gorim went too.
Right,
because many Hasidic rabbis are men.
Ask your grandfather; he's a vicious chosid. He'll tell you the same.
Okay, got it.
And the rabbis can still get married.
Right, so he makes the following point. He says, so he's talking about whether she can or not, and she says, what if one of the husbands were murdered?
Right.
Right? So he says, in that case, that wasn't the will of God, so it doesn't count.
Meaning she could marry again.
Correct. So he's taking their point that what? That right. He's taking the second approach, that is saying that the will of God, right, is only if a person dies, God forbid, by disease or something. If someone was murdered, if there was a Baal Bechira, who in fact killed the person, that in fact would be different. This is based on a well-known Alshich. The Alshich in number 14 says as follows. So what happens? Yosef's brothers want to kill Yosef. Reuven steps in, Yehuda steps in, right? Reuven was away for the day. No.
Reuven
steps in. Reuven steps in and says,
throw him in this. Don't kill him, throw him in the pit.
So throw him in the pit. Throws him in the pit, and what's in the pit we know?
Snakes.
Snakes and scorpions. Oh, that's great. Don't kill them. Throw them at the pit of snakes and scorpions.
Looks like you have to throw me overboard.
Because he wants to die. Right? So that is what the Alshich says. The Alshich says as follows. If we kill him, he Reuven says, we have proven nothing. Because we can kill him even if it's not God's will. A snake does not have Bechira Chafshitz. Let God decide what to do about this. Let God decide who's right. Drop him in there, and if he's supposed to die, that'll be that. If not... Well, again, it's not the Atlantic that's killing you. The Atlantic is like the bullet. You can't say, well, I didn't kill him. Right? I had a roommate who had a bumper sticker. It said, guns don't kill people. I kill people. That's actually what him. Yeah, he actually did some time in federal prison. Yes. Correct. Exactly. That's number 16. Look at the second paragraph in number 16. That is exactly what was. That is one of the proofs. Right? It says, "Kodesh Yisrael Salam, a piece of the apostle Vayomer David got sorry mode." Nipla no biyad Hashem, ki rabim rachmav, biyad adam ala pola. Let me be punished by God, who will give me what I deserve, and not man, who could go beyond. That is an excellent point, right? So the idea here is what's the Alshach supporting? Alshach is supporting the idea that man can override God's will. And even if someone doesn't deserve to die,
it could happen,
right? This is, of course, the opposite of what we had said in the first few sources, the Chinuch, the Sefer Chassidim, who said...
Is that playing against Hashem's way of the world? Is that maybe in a sense...
No. You're
not believing in God in that case.
No, whoa. You just called the Alshach an Apikoros.
No.
Yes, you did.
Said, is it a form of Apikoros?
So you said, right. No, I don't think the Alshach was an Apikoros, Shlomo. I'm willing to say it into the recording. I'm going on the ledge here for this.
The point is, you're going against the nature of what God wants to happen.
No.
Are you changing that virtue?
No. That means that God built the world in such a way that free will is so strong that it has a right to override God's will.
So,
that's not a crazy idea, right? God,
is it really God's will?
Is it God's will that people sin?
It is God's will to restrict his own will.
Correct.
To withhold.
Meaning that the fact that we can sin in general is a violation of God's will. That's the definition of the word sinning.
It's like an act of sin, so in a sense.
Okay.
Always going back to the chassid, you can take the boy out of the park. We can't take the borrow park out of the boy. That's, you know, that's what it comes down to. Right, but again, it's like the philosophical question, Nechama. Can God create a rock so big that he can't pick it up?
Lift it, yes.
What do you say?
No,
so that he's limited. He can't create something so big.
But if you say he can, then how can he limit his own power?
But hold on. But wasn't it God's will when we had the model and the...
Yeah, so?
It wasn't God's will when we didn't think that was the model.
Right.
It was.
Right, so the idea is that, yeah, God could create a rock so big that he couldn't lift, but that wouldn't be a limitation because he decided he doesn't want to lift it.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. It's the same idea here. God makes a decision... So this is the major machokas here. This is the major disagreement. The Rambam, flat out, is a supporter of the Alshach. Right? In his Pirush Mishnayos, we'll take a quick look. He said, "Kol ma shenimtzu l'chachov malav Hashem hu ba'amram hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim hu gam kein emes v'notu l'tzad ma shezecharnu." That's exactly what we're saying. People turn around and based on that and say, oh, this isn't my fault. I have no choice. This is the way I was born. This is, the stars are aligned against me. Kazug ploni. Oh, my wife. Right? I had no choice. It was predetermined. I had to marry her. Oh, yes, mamon biyado. Or the money I have or the money I don't have. This isn't true. My decision to marry my wife in order to have children, etc., that was a mitzvah. I wasn't forced to do a mitzvah. If I was forced to do a mitzvah, I can't be forced to do a mitzvah because then I would never get schar for the mitzvah.
Right?
So therefore, my marriage was my decision and I can't blame God for it. Let's say I go and I marry someone who is a mamzeres. I turn around and say, the fact that I married her indicates that God willed it. No, God would never will you to do an avera. If a kohen goes and marries a grusha, that's not the will of God. You have made the decision. That's what the Rambam says. This idea of, everything's predetermined except for Yira Shemayim, fine. But you know what Yira Shemayim is? Just about everything. Every mitzvah, every aveira, everything out there, that's all Yira Shemayim. So who you marry and what job you do. V'shem lo yazar b'siyas aveira. V'chein zeh ha-gezel magozo mamon mechavriponi o'gonvo mimenu. Right? I got my money because I robbed the bank. But I have the money. It's God's will. No, it's not. Don't give me. See, that's what the Rambam says. that no, if I go and shoot someone, don't tell me it was God's will that I shoot the person. Quite the opposite. Number 16, again, it's a longer list, but it's a good list. It's worth reading at some point, where he talks around and says that this is supported from many, many places. This idea that I have a right to kill, that if I kill somebody and the person dies, it wasn't God's will. The person very well deserved to live the year. Right, so that's supported by the Al-Sheikh. It's so quoted by the first pasuk in Tachanun, right, as Shmuel Salan says. And, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. There is a long list here of different Gedolim who, in fact, support that, who have brought different supports, and the different people who don't agree with it. What? It's a fellow named Jacobs, actually. If you look it up. But he wrote a parish on the thing, and he has a wonderful list here, right? He talks about, he has a fascinating, I'll just go do a few of them. Look at the Kesef Mishnah. There's a very strange halacha. The halacha is, if I give false testimony against you, and you're going to be killed based on it, right? Then I get killed. However, okay. What if? So again, I testify that hoodie that me and Yossi, we get together. We testify that Hoodie's a murderer. So if we get busted, they kill us both. If they kill Hoodie though, and then we get busted, we don't get killed.
Why?
What? Right? Because the idea is that God, that Kesef Mishnah says, you know what the logic is? The logic is that obviously Hoodie deserved to die if God let it go that far. Only when God stops it beforehand, then it was clear that we were trying to... it's a fascinating idea.
That is a fascinating idea.
Right? But that's supporting this idea, is it?
I think it's because they want to protect the rabbis from being guilty of killing an innocent guy.
So you think they're covering it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. That's a good one.
Yeah. What? So again, this isn't. But my point out, this isn't the rabbinic law.
Our dress is from the grave.
Now that is crazy.
But again, so yeah, you read again. We're not going to go through all of this given the hour, but it's fascinating how much there is on both sides. Now, so on the one hand, this is a real machlokas, a real philosophical machlokas with real people on both sides. Right? You have Rashi on one side, Tosas on the other side. You have the Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Chassidim on one time. You have the Al-Sheikh and the Rambam on the other side. And even among the Achronim, it's still, up to this generation, you've got splits with people going both ways. It's a very major discussion. And either way, as we said, it's bothersome. It's bothersome to say that the person, you know, the murderer is really killing people who deserve to die. On the other hand, it's probably even more bothersome to turn around and say that God protects me only so much. God could protect me from about everything, but not from you.
That's
scary.
Well.
That is scary, yes.
Isn't it a concept that when you're predetermined time, you have a predetermined time of death.
Correct.
That's up to Hashem.
Correct.
But it can be prior to that point.
Yeah, but I like to think that would be up to Hashem also.
Yeah, I would think so too.
The whole world runs.
Right? That's how I always thought, you know. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, God makes a decision. Right? If my time is this year, so that's that. If my time was not this year, so God could still decide to pull the plug. Right? Or he'll say, this is saying that no, God says, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to give you another year. Now, good luck.
How do we even know that? God pulls the plug in the middle of the year. Doesn't mean that. How do we know that he didn't decide at the beginning of the year?
We don't know. We never know. Again, there perhaps one way, but in general, when a person dies, we have no way of knowing if this one they've reached the maximum amount of years.
Right? 120.
Right? Maybe. 120. Maybe if they die at 120, then we have a pretty good idea. No shrubbing. But you know, there. So the Netziv has a nice piece on this. The Netziv in number 17, he says, "Lahasmi yosh yesh lahaktim had the Easter bezoar." So he's talking again the story about what Reuven. The Reuven, Amal Hashkach Yosef Babor, Malin Nachoshim Vakravim. This is what we spoke about. You want to save him by throwing him into a pit? He wasn't worried that he's going to die because, you know, Yosef's a good guy. But he was nervous about the brothers because the brothers had Bechira, which could override God's will. So again, that's the Al-Sheikh, as we said, that's the Rambam's opinion. He has a proof from Daniel, which seems to support as well. However, let's skip to three lines in the bottom. God forbid to say that God cannot protect you from some nut job. That there are people who have different levels of hashgacha. An average person, God makes a decision. But if someone's above average, if someone's deserving, God will protect them from that as well. Right? Meaning that, yeah, you might decide to shoot me, but God might decide that I bend down to pick up a nickel at just the right time. Someone's really a tzaddik gomer. Someone's really deserving. They don't have to worry about this either. And that's why Lavan never killed Yaakov. Lavan had Bechira Chafshis. Lavan wanted to kill Yaakov. Why wasn't he successful? Right? So again, the idea being that God, if somebody's on the level of Yaakov, hopefully even a little less than Yaakov, God will protect you even in that case. Just for the average people, or a little bit below average people, God says, you know, here's what it is, but there are certain risks out there. Yes?
Was it the case where Eliyahu visited the guy, and then he got attacked by a lion, and then he stopped visiting him, because if he was of a higher level, then the lion wouldn't have attacked him? Story.
Can you say that the proof from Reuven isn't a good proof? Because what they were doing at the time was they were animating a dead animal or bringing an animal to life when they were being a Menachai. So maybe Reuven thought, well, if Yosef dies, we'll just reanimate him. Because these were people, Rav was able to do that in Gemara.
So I don't understand. So why didn't the brothers kill him and then reanimate him?
Well, I mean, maybe Reuven's able to pass that off a little bit easier, saying he was never done in the first place. But it's very clear that if he was done, then
he thought it would look bad. Okay, I guess it's a possibility. I mean, whatever. There are other approaches as well. If you look in the long one we skipped, they have a lot of they go back and forth on this. So, for example, some people say, "So where does this Gemara come from? Who knows where you can find the Gemara of the fact that there were snakes in the pit?" It's a Rashi, great, but the Rashi got it. Rashi gets it from a Gemara, right? The Gemara doesn't quote Rashi; it's the other way around. It's in Shabbos, correct? We're in Shabbos. Very good. My Hanukkah. Correct. So the question is, what's it doing in the middle of my Hanukkah? So the Ramban points out, it's right as the Gemara that says you can't keep your Hanukkiah more than 20 amos high. Why? Because people can't see it. And their proof being that this pit was more than 20, and they couldn't. Why did they throw it in with the snakes? Because they couldn't see that there were snakes there. Right? So he didn't mean to throw them in with snakes. He didn't mean to throw them with snakes. Well, that was the answer. So, you know, which is, I think, a more simpler answer than he could have reanimated him.
He's still throwing someone 20 amos, which is, you know.
They always say they threw him, they lowered him in. If they wanted to lower him in, they just leave him there until they could figure out what to do with him. We look at the Rambam number 18, says as follows. Ho'el ve'heyos ha'guf bari v'sholei me'dakei Hashem hu. Health comes from God. We all agree with that. Said, therefore, because if someone's sick, how are they going to be an Oved Hashem? So therefore, he says, you have to keep yourself healthy. Right?
Health comes from God, but not a cold.
Right, so that's what he's saying. The Rambam makes it very clear that all health,
including the cold,
right, is something that you're responsible for. Right? You shouldn't eat too much. You shouldn't drink too much, right? When you need to go to the bathroom, you should go to the bathroom. Right? The Rambam is very basic because the Rambam is of the, in fact, sort of said, minimizes God's role and maximizes the role of man. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points to the fact that man does what man does, but God cleans up afterwards. It says, Ki ha-mishpat l'alakim hu amar Rav Chamer bar Chanina amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayin l'risham shenotu mizeh mamah v'nosan l'zeh shel kedin. It's not enough that you're stealing, but elo shematrichen osi l'hachzir mamah v'alav. Now God says, I'm going to have to go and take the money and bring it back. Make a baby. Right. Meaning that, yeah, you have a right to do it against my will, but that doesn't mean I can't put it back together. So that's that. So it's very interesting. So we don't usually do philosophy, but in terms of the discussion, it happens to be a philosophically very interesting pasuk, and it's an interesting discussion to what extent, right, how strong is our free will, basically. All right.